God, you know, if you just would pace the floors of your house saying there's no one else like you, that'll just magnify how big He is. And it'll make your problems look so small. Praise God. Amen? You do know He's way bigger than your problems, right? But what, your problems, they talk to you all day long. You lay there at night and they talk to you. Your checkbook talks to you. Your body talks to you. Situations talk to you. People talk to you. But you need to just go around magnifying God, putting your laser focus on Him. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open Ephesians chapter 4. The preaching, we're not going to preach for very long. You know, I say that and then who knows. But that's the goal anyways. We're going to spend a little time after service, you know, in corporate prayer for these meetings. And so we won't be here all night, but we'll be here as long as it takes to get what we need done, which won't be very long. Praise God. I just want to point some things out to get our expectations up and get ready, kind of, you know, sharpen us a little bit. It's always easier to butcher the deer when the knife's sharper. Amen? It just is. I don't know. I just need to sharpen some things off. And, you know, all I need to do sometimes to sharpen that knife off is just take this little sharpener I have and just two times and it changes the whole thing. So we'll just sharpen a little things up tonight and be ready for those meetings. Hallelujah. Father, help us tonight, Lord. I know what You endeavor to say, so I need Your help saying it, Father. And so I look to You tonight. Lord, You're the vine. I'm just a branch. Apart from You, I could do nothing. I've proven that for many years in my life, that apart from You, I was nothing. Didn't do very much in my life. Amounted to nothing. But Father, in You, we can do all things. So Father, we look to You tonight for help. And Lord, it is such an honor to be here in church tonight with people that are so hungry for You that with the limited amount of nice days we get in Western New York, they still came out to hear from You. So Father, feed them. Fill them tonight with insight, revelation, Father, encouragement and correction if need be. And Lord, we thank You for change tonight. Amen. We give You the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8 says this. It says, wherefore He saith, when He ascended, it's talking about Jesus as the He, up on high, He led captivity captive. But when He went up, He gave gifts unto men. And, you know, the Bible says in James chapter 1 that God is a giver of good gifts. Amen. You know, I endeavor when, you know, I think that there's some people in life, I've run into them. You ever run into a selfish gift giver? You know what I mean by that? You say, how can a person be a selfish gift? They're more interested in what they think of the gift rather than how it blesses the person. Amen? You know what I mean by that? Where they're not really necessarily interested in if the person likes it or if the it's more about how it makes them feel. To me, I want to find out what's going to bless the person the most. I might not think it's a good gift. I might not like it and I might want something different, but I want to do what's best for people. Well, God's a good gift giver, amen? And so the gifts that He gives man are for mankind's benefit. And the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 17 that God is a giver of good and perfect gifts. Now, that doesn't mean that, because we go on to see, we know that these gifts that we're going to look at are ministers. That's not to say that the ministers are perfect, but the giftings and the anointings and the mantle are perfect for what we need. God didn't leave us empty-handed when He left to go back up in heaven. He gave us everything we need. Why? His gifts are perfect. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So in verse 11, it tells us what these gifts are. It says, for He gave some. Remember, He's talking about gifts. So these are gifts to us. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now we know these are men and women of God that God has called and chosen and have gifted with anointings, mantles, equipment that we need for our life. Praise God. So God gave them good things that will help us because they're gifts to us. So they must have something to offer, something to bless us with. And it goes on to say in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. So God said, I'm sending you these. Jesus said, I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to leave my sheep unperfected. So we're going to give them everything that they need so that they're not lacking and that they'll be perfected. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to anoint men and women of God that have equipment and mantles and anointings on their life. And if people would avail themselves to these gifts, praise God, then they'll be blessed and lack nothing. Hallelujah. And so these are God's gifts. Now, before I go on here, to raise your expectation, because some of you in here maybe have never stepped out into a place where you've actually availed yourself to guest ministers. You know, you come Sunday morning, you come Wednesday night, but you've just never kind of crossed that threshold of the next level of actually availing yourselves to the ministers that your pastor has in. Number one, your pastor only has people in because God says so. I didn't just flip a coin and say, boy, that'd be a good idea. No, this was God-inspired. And so God wants to bless you through these people. Now, here's what I want you to see, that all through the Bible, God wrought his blessings on earth to get to other people through men and women. Amen? God's plan always goes through people. You think about, I'm just going to read some names, and if you were to, there's many more I left out, but if you were to look up each and every one of these people in the Bible and study them, you would see that they brought a supply to mankind that brought mankind up to a different level, that God had a purpose and a plan for them. And so names like Moses, names like Joshua, names like Esther and Mary and Noah and Abraham, Paul, Daniel, and David. I mean, those are just name a few who are people that God wrought mighty plans through their lives, which elevated those around them. Praise God. Well, he said, I gave you gifts, which we saw are the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, and teacher, people for the perfecting of the saints. He's saying, I want to give you people that if you'll avail yourselves to their life, will elevate your life. And I'm here to tell you, you need to cross over that threshold. First of all, let me just pull the veil off something. It will not kill you to come to church Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. I promise you will still be alive Wednesday morning. Amen. The world will not end. I mean, you can do it, praise God. Hallelujah. But here's what I want you to see is that if God's given these gifts with the ability to elevate you, but you don't avail yourselves to these ministry gifts, you will go without that elevation. You will go without that perfecting. It's the same thing, like when Reverend Greer's here, some people will sow into him, and when harvest time comes, they'll get a harvest. Well, it's the same thing. Some people will avail themselves to these beatings. They'll get what those anointings had, and then they'll be different in life. Some people won't, and their lives won't change. They'll stay the same. I was thinking about my own life. I can look back to numerous times. January 10th, 2002 is when I got born again. And I had a major, and I'll explain it in a little bit more about that story in a little bit, about my first encounter in a guest minister meeting. And I can go over numerous monumental moments in my life that a course was changed, a thought was corrected, an adjustment was made, an answer was given. And many of those times came through availing myself to these ministry gifts. Amen? And so I don't want people here to miss out because there's going to be a move of God in this church starting Sunday morning. And it's going to run its course through Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. You see, Jamestown doesn't know they're just the appetizer. They don't know that. They think they're the main course, and we'll let them believe that. But you never start with the main course. You start with an appetizer. And appetizers are good, but it's not steak. It's not the lobster. It's the mozzarella sticks. Those are good. Don't tell them I said this. My goodness. course, you know, it's tongue-in-cheek. That church is going to get everything they need. But that's just going to, for those of us that go, that's just going to prime our pump for these meetings. God's got something for us in these meetings. Praise God. And if you'll be hungry and go to Jamestown, God will speak to you there as well. And so I want to see people get these in their heart and get these principles in their heart, because Reverend Greer stands in the office of the teacher and the office of the prophet. Real life prophet, real life teacher. Now, your pastor stands in the office of a pastor. Well, that's well and that's good, and there's equipment and anointings and mantles that come with that, but I don't have the anointings and the equipments and the mantles of the teacher and of the prophet. So, those are things you need to get elsewhere. Well, we're bringing them to you. Praise God. I mean, we had to break him out of prison to get him here. Of course, you know his story. Hallelujah. I'm so excited for you to hear that. Praise God. And so, you don't want to miss this. Here's a man who God has used mightily in his life, transformed and changed, supernaturally delivered him, put him with Brother Hagin, praise God. Brother Hagin recognized an anointing and a mantle on his life. He was used in many of Brother Hagin's services. That's his spiritual dad. He goes around the world traveling. He's been used in spiritual things with politics and changing nations. I mean, we are so blessed to have him here. So we want to be ready. Amen. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. So he's a visitation. What's a visitation? A visitation is a God-filled man or woman that is here on the earth, sent by God, that is here to elevate and bless our lives. Well, Jesus was a God-filled man on the earth. But we also know that Jesus said this. The Bible says that Jesus wept, for they knewest not the time of their visitation. They thought he was just a normal guy. They thought he was just everyday Joe Schmo. They didn't realize the anointings, the mantles, and the equipment on his life. And so many people missed out from receiving from Jesus because they weren't ready. Well, we don't want to just think, well, this is another minister coming through to get my money. Pastor Mike just trying to fill up time. No, this is a gift from heaven. And those of you that will honor that and look at it that way, you will receive. That's why I cringe when I hear people say, I'm not coming. These meetings aren't for me. I don't get anything out of his ministry. You've been deceived. You've been hoodwinked. The Bible says you need these things. If you're a person that says, I'm not going to guest minister meetings, I'm just going to be faithful to Wednesday night, I'm just going to be faithful to Sunday morning, you'll get blessed in a measure, but the full measure needs to come from all the gifts. You'll be perfected to, if there was a pie chart of perfection, there'd be a good chunk of it if you were faithful to come on Sunday, faithful to come on Wednesday. There's no doubt about it. And that's honorable and commendable. But there'll be other parts of that pie chart that the prophet was supposed to fill in, that the apostle was supposed to fill in, that won't get filled in. And so we don't want to be lacking in any area. First of all, it doesn't benefit your life when you lack. And it doesn't benefit others. So Mark chapter 6 and verse 1, we know this, but let's look at it to sharpen ourselves up here and remind ourselves and to get ourselves hungry and stirred up. It says that Jesus went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. See, if they can do it to the Son of God, how much more can we do it to somebody that's not the Son of God? Right? We got to be careful that we don't miss these things, because we just see, that's what I always tell people Sunday morning at church. So many people can say they've had their lives changed from Sunday morning or Wednesday night. But what if you just start look at me as this the 5 foot six guy, and I'm claiming 5 foot six because Brandy from Olean said she's 5 foot six and she said I'm the same size as her. So I'm claiming 5 foot six, this 5 foot six guy up here, and we just look at what could be. Go back, Jim Walker. You're supposed to not look in here. We all do your job, usher. How can you see outside when you're looking in here, sir? We just had an usher meeting. He didn't get anything out of it. Just totally didn't get anything out of it. Just didn't pay attention, doing his own thing out there. Just take your little 5'4" body and sit down. Oh, see, he's going to peek in there again. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you just look at it as just, this is just normal. You come here not hungry and you won't be hungry to come. You won't be hungry to sit here and receive it. Because if they'll do it to Jesus, That's what I'm trying to say. If they'll do it to Jesus, it would be easier, I would think, to have less honor for a man or a woman than it would be for Jesus. But they did it to Jesus. So that should be our warning. He went out from there and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where does he get these things from? What wisdom is this which is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" Verse 3, now this is where they dumbed him down to just a man. He was a man, but a man with a mantle and anointing. We don't magnify the man, but we magnify what's on the man or woman. But if you just look at the man, you'll miss what's on the man. And we don't want to miss what's on Reverend Greer. Praise God. It says, "Is this not the carpenter?" Come on, we see him. He's good at nailing boards and putting houses up. We know other carpenters. We know other people that are good with a tool belt. He says, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah?" We know this family. Nothing great about this family. "And Simon, are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and among his own house. And he," now this is what we do not want the God to testify about South Dayton. Jesus was a gift to the people. Reverend Greer is a gift to the people. Jesus didn't go into his hometown to do nothing. We're not bringing in Reverend Greer to South Dayton to do nothing. Amen? Well, but how this meeting turns out has everything to do with us. Because I'm betting that God's going to be ready. I have a hunch. He's not going to miss it. I have a feeling Reverend Greer will be ready. But that's not all that takes to have good meetings. I have a hunch that God was ready this day. And I have a hunch that Jesus was on top of his game. But the Bible says in verse 5 that he could, not would, he could not do a mighty work. Now you might think, well, maybe Jesus just had a bad service or a bad day. Well, he just came off of having heaven on earth. In Mark chapter 5, he cured a woman that had an issue of blood that was incurable for 12 years. That's a mighty work. Amen. He raised a little girl from the dead. That's a mighty work. And now all of a sudden he goes to his hometown and he loses his mighty work credentials. All of a sudden God strips him of the anointing and the mantle that he has on him. No. Brother Hagin would say it like this. He would say, "I'd go into a series of meetings, and I'd have 8 out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit in operation." Of course, the gifts of the Spirit are when God manifests through healings, through tongues and interpretation of tongues, through miracles, things like that. They're over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, "I'd have 8 out of the 9. Well, if you have 8 out of the 9 in a set of meetings, that's a rocking set of meetings. I mean, that's a lot of signs and wonders and demonstration. He said, "I'd go next week to a different church." He said, "I wouldn't change anything. I'd pray just as much. I'd be in the presence of God just as much. I'd fast and set myself before the Lord just as much." And we'd go into those extended set of meetings, and it would be dry as can be. No miracles, no signs, no wonders, no gifts of the Spirit. And so he started to think, "Lord, what am I doing wrong? Lord, help me. I want these things." Just like Jesus wanted his hometown to receive from him. Where else do you want to show off than more than in front of the people you know and the people you grew up with and the people you love the most? You want to see them blessed. Jesus had a desire to do something that day. Reverend Greer's coming here with a desire to do something that day. Brother Hagin had a desire to do something in those meetings. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "It's not you." He said, "It's not me and it's not you." He said, "It's the people." Well, let's look and see if that's true. It says Jesus couldn't do a mighty work there. Except he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. belief. And he went round about the villages teaching. So here we see it can happen. A gift from God. What is the visitation? A God-filled man or woman in our midst that had an anointing and a mantle like no other. Without measure, he had the Spirit, and he was hindered. Well, I'm here to tell you, Reverend Greer has anointings and mantles on him, but not to the fullness that Jesus had. No man on the earth in single form will have the anointing. Now, as the body of Christ collectively, we all have different gifts and stuff, and Jesus has said we'll do greater works, but not through one person. He had the Spirit without measure. No man or woman will ever have that while we're here on this earth. Reverend Greer has anointings and mantles, but not like Jesus. So if Jesus needed these things to operate, how much more for somebody that has a lesser than him? Yeah. Amen? So we need to be hungry. So I want to just real quick look at the two big problems here that the Bible points out and make sure that we don't have those same problems. In verse 4 it says, "But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor." You know what honor is? Honor is reverence. Here God was in their midst and they said, he's just the carpenter. He's nobody. Well, you know, honestly, when people don't have the revelation of the gifts that God's given, there'll be people that will stay home for these meetings. Yet the gift of God is in their church in South Dayton with the intention to bring them up higher, which will change the course of their life for the better. But because people don't have a revelation of that and that honor, they'll think it's not worth it. That's why I said, you won't die. Come and see. I mean, I said that, you know, joking around Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Because some people don't have, it's more weighty to them to make sure they're in bed at their normal time. To make sure they get the same amount of sleep. To make sure they don't miss their TV show. To make sure they don't have to rush home. It's worth more to keep those things in place than to sacrifice when really it's not even that great. We're talking about a few times a year that we sacrifice for God. And the benefit and the blessing that we get out of it is so worth it, but that revelation isn't there. That honor isn't there. We need to make sure that we have honor for Him. Now, how do we have honor for Him? Well, first of all, let me just show you what the Bible says about honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. "Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that your house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord says, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Well, God gave gifts to men. Reverend Greer is coming in the name of the Lord as an ambassador of Jesus. Amen? Remember over there in the New Testament, the reference slips to mind where Jesus says, "He that receives them that I send receives me." So what he's saying is, when I send somebody to you, you ought to treat them like it's me. That's what Jesus is saying. So honoring him, what does honor have to do with? Lightly esteem, highly esteem would be honor. Now, to take it a step further, go to Matthew 10 and verse 41. So we want to honor what God puts in our midst and what's of God. Why? Because God says if we'll honor it, then we'll be honored back. We'll get the honor of God in our lives. Well, in Matthew 10 and verse 41, it says, "He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet," that means this, that if someone has the title or someone has the giftings and mantle of a prophet, and we receive him as such. We don't say it's just some random minister coming in. We are specific and we hone in on his gifts and talents, or gifts and abilities. He is a prophet. We are expecting the prophet's ministry to be in manifestation and in demonstration in our churches. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the Bible says he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. So if we elevate our expectation and our thoughts to my goodness, the prophet of God is in my church. A gift from God, that means he comes from heaven, it's sent from heaven to elevate or perfect my life. I can't miss. I need to be there. I need to honor. I need to be ready to receive that gift that's in my life. Now we think about honor this way. Jesus said he couldn't do a mighty work. Well, he also said that a prophet is not without honor. He called himself a prophet there, didn't he? And so he said, I couldn't do a mighty work as a prophet. So evidently, one of the things that a prophet's reward is mighty works being wrought in the midst of the people. Anybody need a mighty work in their life? Anybody need a mighty work in their finances, in their body, in a situation? Well, if we'll receive a prophet, and then I'll get into the second, because they all kind of go together, the second point and the problem they had kind of were joined, kind of like peanut butter and jelly are different, but yet they're joined in a way. You know what I mean by that? And so we're going to have honor. I'm going to tell you this right now. The Bible says to honor the Lord with your substance, right? So one way we'll honor Reverend Greer is by financially giving to him. But I want to tell you what your pastor's going to do. Your pastor, when he comes in, is going to make sure that his room is filled with all the goodies, all the blessings that he likes. Your pastor, before he ever preaches one sermon, is going to hand him a big fat check and say, "Sir, we are glad you're here." You want to know why I'm going to do that? Because I do it for Jesus. And money is a way to show honor. Money is a way to show heart. Money is a way to show that we are on board. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. It's true. I'm just going to say this. Jesus said, where your heart is, your money's connected. People that have sown sacrificially into my life and my family's life, I know what the Bible says about it. Why it's so meaningful and why it's so special is because they're demonstrating by that giving, my heart's with you, Pastor. Amen. It's not about the amount. It's not about what it does for our lives, although that's a blessing. But I think more of the harvest for you, because I get what I get, but you get it back in multiplication. Yeah. But the bigger thing is saying, my heart is with you. Say, I don't know, that seems kind of shallow. No, that's biblical. Your money and your heart are attached. So when we give him a check right off the bat before he's ever preached a sermon, say, Lord, or sir, and that's not going to be out to Reverend Randall Greer Ministries. That's going to be to Reverend Randall Greer. To him, put it in your pocket, sir. Praise God. We're glad to have you here. We're with you. We're going to start these meetings at the top. Praise God. That's honor. That's what honor would do. So just so you know, from the top down, we're going to just get this, set the stage for you, set the table. Praise the Lord. So the first problem they had was honor. But then go down to Mark chapter 6 in verse 6. It says, he marveled because of their unbelief. They weren't, they had no expectation, did they? Ladies and gentlemen, and this is why they go together, honor, hunger, faith, they all kind of go together even though they're different. We need to come not only with the mentality of the revelation of the renewed mind that this is God's man. This is God's visitation. We're going to honor that by being here. We're going to honor that by giving into that. We're going to honor that by recognizing what's on his life. Amen. You being in the seats is a recognition of what's on his life. It is. And also, when we come a certain way in hunger and in faith that something's going to change. Something's going to take place. Something's going to happen. I'm going to get what I need. This church is going to get what it needs. Pastor Mike's going to get what he needs. Lord, whatever you want to do, we're coming hungry. Matthew chapter 5. See here. Verse 6. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they, nobody else, not the ones that sit home, not the ones that stick their nose in the air and let it go in one after the other one. Pastor's been talking about, how many months have I been announcing this? A long time. Not at the ones that just show up just so their face can be seen and they just, no. Blessed are the ones that are hungry and thirsty for God. Amen. For they will be filled. What does that look like? Father, this is your guy. This is your man. I know the prophet, he's got a mantle and gifts on his life. My pastor's told me that. Lord, mighty works to be wrought. Father, you said I'd be filled. You said I'd be perfected. You said I'd be blessed. Father, I'm coming. Every service, I'm coming with hunger. I'm coming with my praise. I'm coming with my worship. I'm coming with my expectation. Father, I thank you things are going to be done. Father, I thank you things are going to happen. That's showing you're hungry. Abby makes it so clear when she's hungry. That's like all day long, all the time. It's bizarre. She just got back from lunch today, and she said she was full. And I said, well, I'm going to eat something. She said, yeah, I'll take a bowl of cereal. Well, you just said you were full. It doesn't matter. She just keeps eating and eating and eating. But she'll tell you over and over, I'm hungry. Just, Lord, I'm ready for these meetings. Let me give you a little story. Now, for those of you that have never been to these guest minister meetings, awesome things happen, praise God. The first one I went to was in the spring of 2002 when I got born again. It was Kevin and Annie Durant. Of course, we've had them in here and we'll have them in again in October. And I went to their meeting. Now, again, if you're newer at this kind of stuff, church things, Bible things can be very weird to the mind, can be very weird to the flesh. Because the mind and the flesh do not line up with this a lot of the times. And this is the right way. This is spirit. And the Bible says the spirit and the flesh, they war with each other. Well, I was sitting in that meeting, and I was seeing and experiencing things that I had never seen and heard before. Hands were being laid on people. People were falling out. Tongues were being spoken. Gifts of the spirit manifestation. Joy was manifested. Things that I'd never saw on a Sunday morning were in manifestation. And again, does the Bible tell us those things are right? Yes. In certain contexts, those things are right. Praise God. But what happens with these meetings is you get ministers in who should know how to pull on the things of God. You get people from other churches in. And I've been announcing this to our church. So the hunger level should be through the roof. Well, when the hunger's that high, there's a lot more things that God can do because when people aren't hungry, you can't move. And I was in that meeting, and it was a three or four night service. But anyway, the night before the last service, I was in my apartment in Water Street in Fredonia. I was going to college there, and I wasn't understanding anything. I said, I'd been with Pastor Michael for 4 or 5 months, and I knew enough to know that this man only preaches the Bible, which was new to me. You know, and I went to church growing up, and it wasn't about the Bible. It was a lot of Reader's Digest, and I don't know. Have you ever been to churches like that? They exist. They really exist. A lot of you have come out of those places. I'm not criticizing them, but that's how I grew up. And he preached the Word, and it was so enlightening. My goodness, I was getting fed for the first time. And so I was seeing these things take place, and it was kind of, for lack of a better term, wigging me out. What am I seeing? What is going on? I've not seen this before. But at least I give myself credit. I was smart enough to know I can talk to him after. He'll explain everything by the Bible. But I really didn't receive those first three or two nights of service, however many it was. If it was a four-night service, it was the first three. If it was a three, it was the first two. And I didn't really receive anything because my mind was in the way. But one thing I was hungry. God honors the hungry heart. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Blessed are those. And I'll tell you what, he blessed me. And so I remember getting on my knees in my apartment, in my bedroom, and saying, Lord, I don't understand all this, but I trust my pastor. And I didn't have anything in my heart that was wrong. My head was telling me that I had wandered over into the granola section of Christianity. You all know what the granola section of Christianity is, right? The fruity, the flaky, and the nutty. I thought, man, this was not on my groceries. Why am I in this aisle? This is not what I signed up for. But I said, I knew in my heart, man, I don't have a check in my heart, and he knows more than me. At least I'll wait this out, and he can explain it by the Bible. And if he can't, I'll go somewhere else, and this will be a weird church. But thank God everything's in the Bible. And I got on my knees, and I said that to the Lord. I know enough to know my heart's not telling me wrong, and my pastor has only proven the fruit on that tree's only been the Word of God. And I know I'm new in this, and there's lots of things when you start that you don't know. And so I said, Lord, I just want more of you. If this is you, I want more of you. I want more of you. And I, for the next half an hour to an hour, that's the only words that came out of my mouth was, Lord, I want more of you. And it was from a place of not putting on a show, but a place of desperation of, Lord, I'm hungry. That's how we should be. Going home that, Father, I'm hungry for these services. I'm telling you, the prophet's going to do some things in this church. Amen. Mark my words. We're going to walk out of here different. And you're going to be just thirsting for him to come back. Praise God. I said, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you. Well, it was the next night, the last night of the meetings. And Brother Kevin was preaching, or I should say Brother Kevin was shouting at all of us. That's pretty much what he does when he preaches. I love listening to him. And I was sitting in the center section, about halfway to three quarters of the way in the back. And he's ranting and raving. You talk about red face, you think my face gets red. You think my veins pop out. You think I spit. Come to one of his services. And he's ranting and raving and hooting and hollering, jumping up and down. And he stops. And you could tell something arrested him in his heart. And he stopped. And he stood there for a second. And he started to walk down the side aisle. And he pointed at me, and he said, you stand out in the aisle. Well, I wanted to sink down in my seat. This is before Pastor Mike, where Pastor Michael's put me on the front row. I didn't want to be in front of nobody. I didn't want nothing. I mean, I'm just there to hear, be at church and figure all this out. And he stops and he says, you stand out in the aisle. And I'll never forget it. You know, it was the beginning of a supernatural. I had supernatural experiences before this, but I didn't recognize them as being from God. This was the first one I knew was from him. And he pointed at me as I was standing there, so self-conscious, just so nervous. Why am I standing in front of this church of 100 to 200 people? You know, it's packed out in there. And he points at me all serious, and he points at me and he says, you want more of God, don't you? Well, the night before, I say, either he heard from heaven or he's a peeping Tom. I'm guessing he heard from heaven because I don't think he knew where I lived. And I don't think he crawled up onto the second floor and put a cup up to the window and heard me saying that. I'm guessing he heard from heaven. Amen. Well, what'd God do? He filled a hungry heart. He satisfied a hungry heart. And he said, you want more of God, don't you? And when he said that, the chills went, because I was so moved and the tears started to flow. And I said, yes, I do. And the whole time I'm thinking, how did he know this? Well, the whole time, you know, in the nights before, I was concerned people falling down on the floor, hands laid on, tongues, all this stuff. Well, he went to, and he said, be blessed. And what it felt like was somebody that hit me with a baseball bat, the force of it, but I didn't feel the pain. So it's like getting hit with a baseball bat, but not feeling the pain, but what that force would feel like. And I flew in the air, my feet left the ground, and I flew back into the usher's arms, and I laid on the floor, glued to the floor, not being able to move, for I don't know how long, and he went on to on preaching. Well, I learned quickly that falling down stuff isn't made up. I learned quickly that the power of God is real. And I said to my friends at the time, it was Tim Stallman and Randy Delbone, before they were in the ministry, you know, I said, my goodness, how hard did he hit me? They said, Mike, he didn't get within 2 feet of you. The power of God nailed me. And I got more of God. But why did I receive? Now, I could tell you stories, and I won't for time's sake, of times like that over and over. But I don't go into these. When my pastor has meetings or things, I don't just say, well, that's not for me. No, I get excited. I go into these meetings and say, Lord, I'm going to get something. Lord, I'm going to receive. Doesn't necessarily mean I'll get an individual word, but something the preacher will say, something God will say in my heart. I'm not walking out of meetings like that the same. I'm going to be different. Why? Because God promised me, if I'll come hungry, I'll leave filled. If you'll come hungry and just renew your mind to what's in our midst, to what's on his life, I promise you, you'll leave this place filled. Amen. Amen? So let's get hungry, and just for a few minutes, maybe just 5-10 minutes, let's, as a church as a whole, let's pray corporately together, because the Bible says when we pray fervent prayer, we make power available. We want there to be power available. We want the shelves. Remember what making power available is like? It's like the Walmart guy in the middle of the night putting the things on the shelf that we need. So the shoppers that come in the next morning when they have their list can just grab it off the shelf. If nobody comes in and stocks the shelves the night before, it makes it difficult for the shoppers. Well, we want to make it easy for the preacher, and we want to make it easy for us to receive from God. Amen? Now, if you're newer with us and you're not versed and not familiar, or you've never, even if you're not newer with us and you've not crossed that threshold of being baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, and if it's different for you, I promise you, just like I did, understand everything at the time. I knew by my pastor and the fruit of his life that everything could be backed up with the Bible. And so if this is new to you, if it's different to you, please don't let that turn you off. Understand there are things of God that you just don't know yet and that you just don't understand, but God's got good things for you. And we would never, I tell you, as the pastor of this church, I know the other family church pastors have the same stance, but my job's not to worry about what they're doing. I am telling you, at South Dayton, at Olean, we will only preach the Bible. Everything we do will always be able to be backed up by God's Word. So let's just go ahead and begin to worship Him. When I transition over into praying in other tongues, you go ahead and do that too. And again, if you're saying, what is this other tongues business? Well, the Bible tells us it's when our spirit talks to God. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. Father, we worship You tonight. And we praise You and we bless You. Father, we are excited. We are in anticipation. Father, just like kids before Christmas. Oh, Lord, what gifts do You have for us? What things do You have wrapped up, ready to deliver to us on that night, Father? On those nights, Father, these meetings that You have for us, Father, what do You have in store? We are in anticipation. We are in excitement. Father, Your will be done in these meetings. Your will take place. What You want said, what You want done, we welcome it, Father. Basically, what we're saying is, be God in these meetings. Do what You want to do. Say what You want to say, Father. We hunger and we thirst after what You have for us, Father. After what is in store for us. Father, we are so excited. We are saying and declaring we will never be the same. We will never be the same after these meetings. And Father, we honor the gift that is Reverend Greer. We honor him as a messenger sent from heaven. Father, we thank You for His giftings and His callings. We lift Him up and pray for Him. Father, we pray for boldness for Him. We pray for utterance for Him. Father, bless Him in these meetings. May South Dayton Family Church be a place of refreshment for Him. A place that He can step into the pulpit and just take off into the things of God. A place that He'll later say was easy to minister in. So we set the table for Him tonight. We come not only tonight to pray, but we make a commitment that we as believers will set the table in prayer from now until those meetings in full belief and expectation of what You want to do. So Father, have Your way in these meetings. Now Holy Ghost, there's things that we don't know and things that we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but You do. So Holy Spirit, give us the utterance in other tongues to help us to pray for God's perfect will for these meetings. And Lord, we rest on Your word, that Your word says when we pray according to the perfect will of God, we are making power available. So Lord, we thank You. This is stock in the shelves. There's going to be plenty of provision available for everybody that comes to these meetings. So Holy Ghost, give us the utterance now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. If you're not filled and you want to be filled, feel free to come forward. We'll lay hands on you. Praise God. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you want to take some more time to learn about it, please. Reach out to me. I'd be glad to help you. Matoroma kete sotora tabande seketo. Redese torta de sequetora mata sita rotoscoto. Lende meso tora na nasa da redescate. Lota sedemo to combata sete lotosoto. Yes, ete seta satara nasa tanda. Yes, signs, wonders and miracles. Mate, lota mate sete. Mata yeta, increased and multiplied manifestations. Increased and multiplied manifestations. Abundona sate. Late sedo toto so dramate setola. Lande me se gotosa trama satele. Leto sota rabate sedonda shakate. Lande sedo londa sada. Lida masada lete lorda ma ita. Leto so kumbaharate sete. Lete fesondora. Oh, Ramadde said de la sete te. Oh, Brambandasa candatas catotoso. Oh, Brandandan candasa. Yes, yes, yes. Answers, answers, answers will come. Answers will come. Natasate te te. Yetotoso to. Direction and clarity will come. Matasete lotoso. Yes, 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 yes. Amatata. Be expecting for answers if you need answers. Be expecting for direction if you need direction. Be expecting for clarity if you need clarity. Matasete. Ronda maseto tosco tora. Leta mosoko tore bete seto. Lata mateso tora matisete. Landa maseto. An atmosphere of blessing. An atmosphere of blessing. Oh, ramate se amotora, late sendota scate sotota, araname so galante se betotoso, lete se doro domatarse, radasa betotosco tromata sketelete, lete mato son ramate seto, lete se delondosco tromatasa, vrete se bento tongo rombante tesoto, lata sendo dosco trosta tate setete, ronda sambanda tascatoto, rombandata selo toco sotro, rambambata scatresque trete setoto, rombatata satra tasca tresquete, tata tasa tata sa, rambandasca tresetete, ronda satesco trosa beto, lomatesco trasca tresete, lonte se pataro basate neto, lambatusco tosco troscoto, rombatasca tram. Yeah, some of you need some things. Come expecting. You need some things. Some of you need some things. That's your help. You come in full expectation. Satongo toraba, vramaketa sobota tasetete, navrandesco romboco tora shakitimi, me cortola sate le tendo. Haha, ye, Sara, mero do sonda, now, nasa de lota, now prateskete, vruntaskita saprapa corto sobrota enta, ye, sandos catarnesketete, ronda da siti mata rocota. Navram banqueto tosco pro cortoso trapete, hetato so prombomboto, lata satana mesquetre me quanto sotro, vramanda se trombo sotodo, lama se tolosco matalate, rombandascata de mesquete, rombanda manda castende, rombandanda madengestate. Yes, just make the commitment, just make the commitment. Make the commitment. Matato sototo. Vrambate sogundarata da sete.
Leto sota ramate se trabaja tota, da fetesco prota sambatiki, la tesetre mengueta to sopra catasa, vrendesco brondosco blombonda da sete, odrevo da levedondra masedrede, vrendo bocotra sacchiata, abrehata na masocoto, eta sata, eta sata, eta sata, eta sata, eta sata, ota sapasiti. O tatapata siti matasata. O tatapata siti tamatata. Donda mata te sete te sototo. Yeta mahata toko mata kate sotora. Dendro mahate se dreme kota. Vreta mahate se domo toko matare se tete. Ronono masa ne eto konta shale te sebe. Romota ta sabla mate sete de meme. Ondra mama mama mama.
Let's just take a minute, just the same way that Abby lets me know she's hungry by saying something. Let's just tell them we're hungry tonight for those meetings. Let's just let them know how hungry we are. We need a move of God in our individual lives and as a church whole. Father, we're hungering. Father, we're hungry. Abby says it over and over, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. You know what that tells me? She's hungry. So just tell them, Father, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Lord, I'm hungry. I won't be satisfied, Lord, until you fill me. I won't be satisfied till I'm filled. I'm hungry. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry, Father. I'm hungry, Father. So hungry for your move. So hungry for your ways. So hungry for your plan. So hungry for your answers. So hungry for your direction, Father. So hungry for correction if I need it, Father. And Lord, we always need correction. So we're hungry for everything that you got for us, Father. Oh, we're hungry, Lord. We're hungry, Father. We're going to make sure that you know that 213 Pine Street, South Dayton, New York, is a place filled with hungry people. So Father, satisfy us according to your word. Now, Father, you would never lie to us. You said if we'll be hungry, we're telling you we're hungry. You said we'd be filled and satisfied. So I thank you, Lord, that we're going to get collectively as a church what we need. And as individual believers, Father, our lives will never be the same. We thank you, Father, for all that you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm so excited. You know, this was our last Wednesday before those meetings. I just wanted to take this opportunity to stir you up. We have our marching orders. Go forward and keep telling them you're hungry. Amen. Have a great rest of your night. You are dismissed.